This episode of Ticket Ripper Podcast is brought to you by people who still buy DVDs. Hey, what are we doing here, huh? If we're not trying to advance technology, then why are we still watching our movies in 720p? You don't enjoy supreme colors and quality? I think most, like, you can get, like, most DVDs nowadays are, like, HD DVDs, but it's still not the same, and it's a proven fact. You might be one of those people who think that it doesn't make a difference. And if you are one of those people who thinks that Blu-rays don't make a difference, you, my friend, do not understand science! Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. My name, as always, is Benjamin Abraham Arrevalo. We be ripping, we be dripping, and you know, everything else. Today is a very special day because I skipped a week. You might have noticed that. And if you noticed that, you might have said to yourself, oh, well, here he goes again. But no, I'm not going to leave you alone for a month again. I just been working on some things. I've been, trying to watch some movies, getting some ideas in my head. So this episode is going to be about, because I promised you last time it would, this episode is going to be about disaster movies. Because if there is a better time to watch disaster movies than when we're in the middle of a disaster, I don't know. Because I'm pretty sure, like, the minute that we get out of this corona thing and it's like, everything's good, guys, we can come out now, that's when, the freaking Jellystone volcano is just going to, and that's it. Bada bing. But a boom, the East Coast is gone. The West Coast is gone. And all the people in Kansas are living it up. All the people here in Albuquerque, we're way too high for that water to get here. So we're just like, that was supposed to be like techno beats. It didn't work out. It had this kind of like reggaeton vibe to it. But hey, we're not going to talk about it. So this week, obviously, because nobody's releasing any more trailers, we're not going to be doing trailers of the week, which I don't know. I'm kind of excited about. I kind of got bored of doing trailers of the week. There's not a lot of trailers that give me fuel anymore. And it's probably because most people who, you know, are supposed to release these trailers are dead. And if they are, I am so sorry. And to your families, I am so sorry. But anyway. We're going to keep rolling along. Last episode, I introduced a new segment to the show called Recast the Past. And that's what we're going to start off with today, because I want to jump right into it. I don't want this episode to be gigantically long. So I know last time I think I went on a rant about Hans Zimmer and it went a little longer. But this time we're not going to do that stuff. We're going to be talking about, disaster movies. I think personally, one of the bigger, or like one of the more popular disaster movies, like recently, let me tell you right off the bat, the four that we're going to be talking about, or the four that I'm specifically going to be referring to. The Day After Tomorrow, which is a 2004 movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal, it was really good. Dante's Peak, which is a 1997 movie starring what's his name? I've been saying his name all week and I just forgot his name. Pierce Brosnan, 007. And then San Andreas, starring none other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson, although he took The Rock out, so he's just Dwayne Johnson now, which weirdly enough doesn't sound as good. Did somebody explain that to me? And then we're also going to be talking about, and this one's mainly like one of the bigger ones that I'm going to be talking about because it's my least favorite of the bunch. Well, not really. I hate San Andreas, honestly, a little bit. But the last one is going to be 2012. I'm looking at one of the riffs right now, but we'll get to that in a second. So, you know, obviously these are movies where, you know, horrible things happen and people die and, like, you know, crazy things go down, and it's just, you watch them because it's such a disaster that you want to look up, you want to look away, but you can't. So, like, it's, you know, in the case of, like, you know, in Kansas, people, you know, when they see a tornado, you know, normally you would think that they're just going to, you know, sit there and chill. or like sit there and like, you know, go into their like storm shelter. No, Kansans run towards the tornado with their cameras in hand. Kansans run towards tornado because I mean, you want to see a disaster go down. You want to see it happen. But first, we are going to recast the past. So we're going to be recasting 2012. This one's a short one because here's the thing I have to say about 2012. I'm only recasting maybe two people, because of the fact that those are the only two people that I feel like I really like it, you know. I'll explain it here in a second. The two people that I'm going to be recasting is the main character, obviously John Cusack, because who cares about John Cusack? Like John Cusack in when this movie was made, John Cusack was like not in my like you're telling me you're going to make a movie about action. Like take a look at San Andreas 2015. If I told you, oh, I'm going to make an action movie about California getting completely obliterated. And it's going to focus on a helicopter pilot. Who's like, you know, one of those like a rescue pilot, you know, rescue chopper pilot guys. Who's going to be the rescue chopper pilot guys? What are you going to say? Dwayne, the Rock Johnson, right? Bada bing. 1997. I'm going to make a movie about a really smart, handsome dude who, saves a mayor and her kids from a volcano. Who do you think is going to be that? Pierce Brosnan, right? Day After Tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to make a movie about this, you know, guy who predicts that the world's about to like freeze over and end. And then, you know, his son is stuck in like New York or something like that. Who's going to do it? Obviously Dennis Quaid, obviously Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, there's a love interest. Obviously Emmy Rossum, because they were the peaks at the time. John Cusack wasn't even in my peripheral vision when 2012 was made. And if you're wondering why I keep saying when 2012 was made, it's because 2012, and here it is, this is the first rip, 2012, the movie 2012 was released in 2009. Now, if you're wondering why I find that so funny, is because it's a movie named after the movie isn't like 2012 because like 2012 people are going to die or you're like, oh, the water is going to reach 2012 feet. No. It's called 2012 because it takes place in 2012. And I'm not saying like I get it. You know, there's movies that can be about future. You know, all the freaking Avengers movies, they're all taking place in like, you know, 8 years ahead of where we are now. But if you name a movie, it's not called Avengers 2025. If you name a movie 2012, if you name a movie 2012, your movie better be released in 2012, dude. Because like, here's the thing about it is like that doesn't, it works for the future stuff, but it doesn't work for backwards stuff. So if I made a movie called 1984, I'm not going to make the movie in 1984 because it's 2000, you know, 20. So it's impossible. I'm not a time traveler. But if it's 2009 and I'm making a movie called 2012 and they're like, when are we going to release this thing? I'm like, we're going to sit on this baby for 3 years, dog. Because I'm not going to be the fool caught releasing a movie in 2009 and be like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased to announce that we have finally finished our movie. I hope you enjoy it. It's called 2012. I mean, come on, dude. And this is the dumbest thing to be like to rip them on, because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't make the movie any better or worse. But the thing is, from 2009 to 2012, you know who is somebody who I didn't give one single like care about is John Cusack. John Cusack, dude. John Cusack. Let's take a look at John Cusack, huh? Let's see what John Cusack is up to. Okay. He's on a TV show, which right off the bat, like, oh no. Okay. Bunch of movies that I haven't heard about. Bunch of movies. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Hot Tub Time Machine. Got it. Yeah, there was that, right? That was successful, right? Yeah. Let's see. Oh, he was I guess that was a good thing. Love and Mercy, the one about the Beach Boys or whatever they're called. Other than that, I mean, like, you wouldn't know half of these movies. He played Richard Nixon in a movie called The Butler. Okay. You look at John Cusack and you tell me you see Nixon, huh? You look at John Cusack, you tell me you see Nixon. Yeah, dude. I mean, like, he was in a movie called Igor right before this one. An animated movie, which, if you haven't seen it, it's not good. In 2007, he made a movie called 1408. Ironically, I didn't like him in that movie either. Man, I might recast 1408. It's just going to be recasting John Cusack. But okay, anyway, that's enough about, you know, ragging on John Cusack. I'm sorry, John Cusack. I love you. But at the same time, I will, like, I love you as a human being because I love human beings. But I hate you as an actor, man. There's something about you, which I take it back. I don't, hate's a strong word. You're not my cup of tea, my guy. You're not my cup of tea. And I mean, I act like John Cusack's going to hear this and like cry about it. No. It's all love, dude. It's all love. All these rips, they're all love, bro. They're all love. We're family, you know? We're family. So who would I haven't even said my recast yet. Who would I recast as John Cusack's character in the movie 2012? I would recast Jackson Curtis to be Jake Gyllenhaal, which... You know, I weirdly, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal is on he's on the same, like, he's on this roster. He was in The Day After Tomorrow. And actually, 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow were made by the same dude. They were directed by the same dude. You know, this guy's just like, hey, want to watch a movie about everybody dying? He's just like, hey, would you like to see California absolutely get wrecked? Follow me. I don't know why I gave him a French accent. His name is Roland Emmerich. Would you like to see New York get completely obliterated by a wave? He loves waves. He used a wave in both movies. I'm on to you, Roland Emmerich. I'm on to you, bro. So I would replace Jackson Curtis with Jake Gyllenhaal. Jackson had like this sort of quirky, like a little bit of a comedy vibe to him, which, I mean, you know, John Cusack did an all right job, but it's just, there's something about the way that John Cusack acts that's just not believable. Jake Gyllenhaal, I feel like, could have brought something a little like fresh to the thing. And by fresh, yeah, I mean, it's because John Cusack's career was already dead. I mean, if you're making a movie called Igor, dude, and it's like this crappily animated movie, get out of my blockbusters. Okay. Get out of my blockbusters. Now, obviously, you know, the ball or the chains to his ball, is, you know, Kate Curtis, who is played by Amanda Peet. She's not necessarily a gigantic character in the movie. So, I mean, like, recasting her isn't necessarily like a thing, like you wouldn't have to. But at the same time, like, I just think that the vibe would have been different if it was Jake Gyllenhaal and her. So for that reason, I'm recasting Kate Curtis as which is the character's name, as Mila Kunis. Or Mila Kunis as Kate Curtis, because I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal and Mila Kunis could have been like, it would have been a nice like vibe, good chemistry there. Also, I mean, they look cool, you know, they look cool. And I feel like they could have brought something to the character that wasn't there initially. And maybe the movie would have been a smidge better. But at the same time, I don't know. Okay. Now, the last character that I'm going to recast, well, here's the trick. Adrian Hemsley, who is this, he's like, you know, one of the dudes who like found out about this. He went to his buddy in like Delhi or India or whatever he was. And he was just like, oh, nah, dude, the planet's going to die. And he was like one of the first ones, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor. I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry, Chiwetel. Yeah, we need a nickname. Chiwetel Ejiofor. I'm gonna stop saying his name. I'm just butchering it. But you know, and here's a trick. I'm not gonna recast him. Oh, you thought I was gonna recast him? Why? Because I think he did a really good job. His character was necessary. His character did a really good job. And I mean, it's Chiwetel Ejiofor. This guy was in freaking two. Like, who would have known? Who would have known that 1 year later, this dude was about to like change the game with 12 Years a Slave, huh? Like who would have known, you know? Like this dude did Salt and like a movie called Savannah or some stuff. Who would have known that this dude was just like chilling for like a couple, because I mean, movies take a little bit, okay? Movies take a little bit. And then this dude is going to go and get nominated for an Oscar? Ah, bro. This guy was like, he was playing everybody. He was just like, oh, you think I'm just a normal actor, huh? Little do you know, I got something up my sleeve. And he hit us. He hit us with his character in 12 Years a Slave, which weirdly, both of these movies have the letter 12 in it. So there's that. Coincidence? Probably. Anyway, wow, I talked a lot about the recast of past. Okay, but anyway, yeah, those are the characters that I would recast. And you're probably wondering, hey, Ben, why didn't you recast any of the other characters? Here's the reason why I'm not going to recast any of the other characters is because if I'm recasting the movie, I'm getting rid of half of these people. Half of these storylines don't matter. You know, don't care. There's like this Russian dude with like his two kids who are like snobs and like this girl with a chihuahua or something. Why are they in the movie? This is the thing I hate about some of these movies. Like San Andreas does it too. One of the worst movies that did this. What was it? One of the worst movies that I hate about this. Oh, the DC, like, you know, like movies. They keep trying to do this too. Like, hey, man. I don't care about, and I've said this before, you didn't have to cast Lawrence Fishburne as the editor of the Daily Bugle or whatever it's called, because I don't care when I'm watching a movie about an alien fighting a billionaire in a suit. The last thing I care about is the editor of the Daily Bugle, or whatever it's called. Why am I looking at Lawrence Fishburne? You know? And they did it in Man of Steel, they did it in the other movies. Like, there's storylines, and they did it in 2012. There's storylines that I don't give, like, I don't care, dude. What does this have to do anything with the story? It doesn't push it forward. You're just trying to, like, you're like, oh, I don't know which one people are going to relate to the most. So we're just going to have like 7. Because they have the Russian dude. They have the Jackson people who are arguably the main characters. They have Chiwetel Ejiofor. They have the president. They have Tandy Newton's character, Laura Wilson, who is the president's daughter. Who like we're supposed to feel bad for. I'm like, bro. I've seen them on the screen for 3 minutes. Why are we still looking at her? Am I supposed to feel something? Her daddy was the president. His name was Danny Glover, who was played by Danny Glover. He stayed behind at the White House literally only to die. Like, hey, Mr. President, what you chilling around for? What are you going to stop the wave with your patriotism? What's going on here? There's certain movies where like the whole like captain goes down with the ship, that makes sense, you know, like, oh, I just saw the movie Underwater. That movie rips. The movie Underwater with Kristen Stewart, if you haven't seen it, I thought it was gonna be garbage, and honestly it's not the greatest movie of all time, but that movie's lit. If you haven't seen it, it's only like $7 to rent on like Apple. And I say Apple because if you don't have Apple, I guess you're going to rent it on like Vudu. What's wrong with you? But it's only like $7 to rent. It's not like The Invisible Man. I tried to watch The Invisible Man the other day. Hey, movies. I get that you're trying to like make up for the fact that you can't release in theaters, but $20. $20. And like, it's fair. I get it. It's fair because if like me and my five other people that live in this house are watching this movie, $20 is a steal. you know, and like put on top of that, like popcorn, $20 is a steal. However, if I'm the unlucky champ who wants to watch this movie alone, $20 for the movie rental. I don't even get to keep the movie, bro. Literally, I saw that and I was like, I was watching with other people. I saw that $20 and I was like, bro, $7 more, I can buy that movie in 4K when it releases. Hell no, I'm not paying $20 for a rental. God, I'm getting way out of, I'm like losing my track. But anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, none of these characters matter, dude. It doesn't matter. Like, Finn down, I understand that you're probably trying to like, but we need to make the movie a little longer. How about we make a storyline about the Russian billionaire? Oh, that's the other thing that made me mad about this movie, which, I mean, to be fair, would be the same thing that happened, that would, like, it would happen definitely today, is that people had to pay like $1 billion just to get into the, just to get in to the freaking, into the ship thing. I'm like, bro, $1 billion. You're going to fit like three people in there. Okay. Half the storylines don't matter though. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But anyway, we're going to move on from 2012 because 2012 is a disaster, which is funny because I like, it's cool to watch. You know, the visuals are really cool. The wave was really cool. The disaster was really cool. But the storyline is an absolute piece of garbage. Another movie that follows that same kind of like theme is going to be San Andreas. So San Andreas is about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And he's, you know, he's like a rescue, like, helicopter guy. He's one of those, like, you know, fire or EMT, you know, dudes who comes down, and he's dope, you know, obviously, because Dwayne The Rock Johnson can't not be dope. And he's got, you know, he's got a daughter, who, you know, kind of, you know, the relationship is kind of on the edge, and he's got a an ex-wife who's, you know, Carla Gugino, which, I mean, if you don't know, she's gorgeous. You know, I think she was the mom from Spy Kids, which is probably why I think she's gorgeous, because I've had a crush on her since I was like 7 years old. Sorry, mom, but I love Spy Kids. I watched that movie and I was like, God, I love Spy Kids. Imagine me at 7 years old looking at Carla Gugino in the Spy Kids movie going, wow, I love this movie. Anyway, essentially what happens is that, I mean, could you guess it? The San Andreas fault, like, you know, I don't know what they call it, like defaults or something like that. It moves, it shifts because it's like a tectonic plate thing, which is really funny because we've been new about this San Andreas fault thing for a long time, but they were just like, hey, but there's beaches. So we just kept building one of the biggest cities in America along this fault line. Like, there's like Los Angeles, there's like all this other, all these other cities. I don't know California. I've never been. But anyway, so then, you know, it breaks and everything's like dying, and the weight, like the vibrations are so intense that it's like waving the ground, which, by the way, wouldn't happen in reality. It's just, you know, movie bull crap. But anyway, or bull poopy, sorry. And I say bull poopy because I don't want to cuss on the podcast, because my mommy sometimes listens to this, which, I mean, if my mommy sometimes listens to this, she's going to find out about my crush on Carla Gugino, and she's going to never let me watch, you know, freaking Spy Kids again. And I, you know, aside from the fact that Carla Gugino's hot, I really like the Spy Kids movies. So I'm not gonna cuss on the podcast. Either way, I'm not watching Spy Kids again. And then Alexander Daddario, who's just kind of like this, like, oh dude, we need some eye candy because Carla Gugino's not enough, she's a little old, let's get that one chick with the blue eyes. And that's Carla Gugino, is like, oh dude, but she reflects light like a piece of paper. And they're like, ah, it's fine, put her in. So they put her in. But, you know, aside from that, you know, obviously they're not going to be doing great acting. I don't think, here's the thing about it. I don't think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is bad. And I call him Dwayne The Rock Johnson because that's his name. I don't think Dwayne Johnson is bad at acting. I think that he's been typecast, and the characters that he gets typecast at as, they're not like good characters, and they're not really well written or rounded out. They're just kind of like, oh, he's got muscle. It's kind of like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, it's like, oh, he's got muscles, he shoots guns, he jumps out of helicopters, he's a cool guy. Like, that's it. I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson could really bring like home like some like bacon if somebody would just like look at him and be like, you know what, you could be something else. And I'm like, yeah. Same thing with the rest of these. I mean, it's just like they're kind of actually, I'm not going to, you know, Carly Cugino, she's not very good. But anyway, continuing on. But yeah, the movie, it's good. It's fun to watch. The storyline, again, it's just like, what are we doing here? You know, it's a fun movie to watch, but I'm just like, ugh. And then The Day After Tomorrow, and yes, I'm kind of working backwards here, but kind of all over the place. But the reason I'm leaving Dante's Peak last is because I want to talk about it a little bit more. The Day After Tomorrow is, another Roland Emmerich movie. It's about Jack Hall, who's like, he's a climate whatamacallitist, and he finds out that the world's about to end, and he's like, oh, it's going to happen like this. We need to stop it. But then a week later, he's like, oh, no. It's already here. We can't stop it. So this one's really one where we lose because, I mean, there's no way to stop stuff like this. That's not like the core where they're like, oh, we're going to, in 3 months build something that we haven't even dreamed of. And we're going to go to the core of the earth because we haven't been able to do that for, the entire time that we've been here. But I guess just, now that we need to, we can do it, which seems pretty right. But essentially, Jake Gyllenhaal, I consider the main character to be Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal's in New York. He's like, a smart kid and all this kind of stuff. And then the world just like goes to hell. And, global warming just completely destroys everything. The waters start getting too cold and stuff like that. And so like hurricanes, like super hurricanes and they're like super cold hurricanes start coming through. There's a big wave. Don't ask me how the wave started. I think it was an earthquake, but I'm not sure what happened there. But anyway, the wave like takes over New York. There's wolves and all this kind of stuff. Jake Gyllenhaal, if you haven't seen The Day After Tomorrow is like my favorite disaster movie. I absolutely love it. It's really good. It's really well done, especially for 2004. And Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean, who wouldn't want to stare at Jake Gyllenhaal's face for an hour and a half? The movie's great. I like the movie. Thank you, Roland Emmerich. You're welcome. I like it. There's a scene where like these guys in a helicopter, they come out of the helicopter and they're in the eye of the storm and it's like freezing cold because it's like taking, space air, and it's just like, and they freeze instantly, and it was dope. And I was a little kid. I was like, dang, like that's crazy, dog. These guys just died. Oh, I hope that they had the love of Jesus. But obviously Dennis Quaid, of course, is divorced to his wife, and they're like, in separate spaces, and like there's like these little kids with like she's like a nurse and taking care of this like little kid with cancer, which, by the way, who needed the, like, I'm not saying like, all the, bad thing to add, but like what did the little kid with cancer bring to the story? What did the little kid with I hope that they got a real kid with cancer and like put him in the movie. That'd be dope. Maybe it was like a Make-A-Wish thing. In that case, cool. But if you just got a kid, chopped his hair off, and made him be in this movie, what are we doing here, man? That kid has to grow that hair back. Unless you use a bald cap. In that case, I guess not. But anyways, yeah. The Day After Tomorrow is one of my favorite ones. I really like it. It definitely gets a... Let's see. I'm going to give you the Ticket Ripper rating the Ripper ratings The Day After Tomorrow, because it's really the only one I care about. The Day After Tomorrow gets sick. It's got 4 stars. That's 4 stars for the normies. It's sick. I love The Day After Tomorrow. 2012, I'll just give you the Ripper ratings for all of them. 2012, it gets, it's aight. It's 2 stars, and those 2 stars are mainly because of the visual effects, mainly because of the action. It's cool. It's fun to watch. San Andreas gets definitely 2 stars because it's all visual effects. I don't care about the storylines. Carlo Tugino's gorgeous. Alexandra Daddario is, nice to look at, but I'm just like, bruh, give me a little beef, give me a little bit more out of Dwayne, like, I know he can act. And then Dante's Peak is the last one. Dante's Peak gets a sick too. So that's 4 out of 5 stars for you normies. I love it. Because I love volcanoes. I was the little kid who read like volcano books when I was a kid. Dante's Peak, I'll give you the synopsis that, IMDb gives me. It's a volcanologist arrives at a countryside town recently named the second most desirable place to live in America. Population under 20,000. That's one of the things they keep saying. And discovers that the long dormant volcano Dante's Peak may wake up at any moment. At the beginning of this movie, like, I'm thinking, this is just San Andreas, or this is just, 2012 or The Day After Tomorrow. But back in the day, at the beginning of this movie, I was thinking, like, fully prepared that this movie was just going to be... you know? They put $17 million into this movie in 1997. And let me, well, sorry. I said 17 million, sorry. $116 million into this movie in 1997. Now you're probably wondering, where the hell did $116 million, like, what did that go to? Watch the movie, you instantly know. The movie, the visual effects from 1997 in this movie are gorgeous. They are gorgeous. Like, there's like these smoke things. They are beautiful. Okay? The storyline on this one, I like it. At the beginning of this movie, Pierce Brosnan is chilling with his girlfriend in some like place, you know, off in the east of the eastern part of the world. And she just gets pelted by a volcanic rock. And she's like seizing out in the passenger seat of his car and like bleeding from her forehead. My jaw dropped, dude. I was like, hey, 1997, what are we doing here? What is this? And I was in. I was reeled in. The chick from the Terminator movies, Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor. She was in these movies. I dug it. She was cool. They had a good chemistry. I don't know why they had to have a romance. I mean, I get it. But she was, you know, her husband was gone out of the picture. And you know, Pierce Brosnan was like, hey, you're kind of good looking. But he was like British-ish. He was like, hey, you're kind of good looking. You mind if I take a look at your old volcano? And no, that's not an innuendo, but I mean, if you want to take it that way. Hey, baby, you want to make an explosion? Oh, Jesus, never mind. Never mind, that's bad. I'm gonna cut that. No, so he, before everybody else, is just like, yep, this thing's about to pop. Like, he gets there, sees two dead bodies, and he's like, this thing's about to pop. And everybody's like, hey, man, you're out of your mind. This could have happened for a thousand different reasons. You're out of your mind. We're not going to close the city off. And then, bada bing, the thing pops. And they're like, I guess we should close the city off, huh? It's too late, dude. Everybody's going to die. So, you know, they do the evacuation. But the mayor has two kids. And here's the thing about it. And I'm pretty sure one of the little kids in this movie is in Terminator 2. Not Terminator 2, the movie. But I think he's in Terminator also. Let me see. Hold on. Oh, no, he's not. Okay. Also, I'm just an idiot. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. But anyway, so she has two little kids. And when all this like stuff goes down, like she calls her grandma or their grandma, her mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, and tells her like, hey, you got to get down from a mountain. Things are going to go down. But grandma's like, don't worry. The mountain's not going to hurt me. I'm like, no, the mountain won't. But the lava spewing out of it will. So she stays in her cabin on the mountain. And her little grandkids, the mayor's son and daughter, are like, we have to get grandma. And she's like, grandma made her choice, which I'm with. I'm like, dude, grandma's stupid. Grandma doesn't understand science. Grandma literally did the whole thing that people are doing now with Corona. Like, oh, nah, Corona's not going to hurt me. Yeah, I will. It's exploding. And you're just chilling. So the little kids are like, grandma. And so the mayor leaves. She has to go do like a town meeting thing. And she's like, stay here, kids. Now, when you tell two little children who love their grandma very much and who are, I mean, this isn't extremely important, but at the same time, it kind of is Caucasian. When you tell these two little white babies to stay put because the mountain's about to explode, what are they going to do? Logically, they get in a car. This little boy who's like 10 years old gets in a car and drives himself up the mountain with his baby sister to save grandma. So now the mayor and freaking 007 have to go up this mountain to get these kids back. These kids back. And this is when it all begins. Because we think, oh, dude, this dude's so smart. This Pierce Brosnan guy, Harry Dalton. Oh, he's so smart, dude. He's going to save them because he knows everything about volcanoes. Yeah. He may know everything about volcanoes, but he is the stupidest hero. Like, if I saw this dude, after watching this movie, if I saw this dude like, don't worry, I'm going to help you get out, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, we're already dead. Let me tell you why. So the bridge is like blocked by like human beings. Oh, no, it falls. So he's like, is there any way up the mountain? And they're like, no, that's the only way. So he's like, okay, this river looks like it'll do. So he takes him in his Toyota 4Runner into a river, water spewing into the car, and they're driving on the because he's got like one of those beefy vehicles that can go into water because it's got the little tube. He's like, don't worry, the car's got a snorkel. I'm like, yeah, bro, but unless you have like 17 wheels, you're gonna get stuck. And he does. His tire gets stuck in the thing and they're like about to drown. I'm like, bro, it's not a creek. It's a river, dude. you're gonna drown. And then those kids are gonna die. But they make it past, you know, obviously because you can't kill the character 20 minutes into the movie. And then he makes it up the mountain. They find out that the kids are gone. They go and the kids left a note. It's like, went to go get grandma. Please don't be mad. I'm like, Oh, honey, I'm not mad. I'm going to stab you in the neck with a knife when I find you because your stupid little itty bitty brain couldn't understand that I'm trying to protect you from the wrath of God. Instead, you go up a mountain by yourself. Little dude, if this mountain don't kill you, I'm finna. Like, you expect me not to be mad, bro? There's the ground is opening. The water is turning to acid. And you went to get grandma. So they go up the mountain. They find grandma. They're like, oh, we got to get out of here. Grandma, obviously, because like, my grandkids came to get me and it's all my fault, so obviously I'm gonna go with them. So grandma goes with them, but like their cars get completely engulfed by lava. And so Harry Dalton, freaking 007, what does he say next? This volcanologist says, get in the boat, we'll get in the water and swim across and paddle across the lake. Very shortly after, we start to realize, oh God, the volcanoes turned water into acid. Hey, volcanologist! Isn't it your job to know that it was gonna do that? Isn't it your job to think, huh, maybe stay away from the water? You've already seen the water kill two people before. So why all of a sudden is getting into the boat a good idea? So they're in the boat. The water's acid. They're trying to paddle. He's about to like sacrifice his hand. He wraps it in like his shirt as if that's going to help. And like paddles. Grandma, you know, is like, don't worry, kids, I'll save you. And gets out of the boat and starts hauling the boat. Obviously, her legs get all eaten up and it's gross. And she's like, I'm not going to make it another 2 miles. So they leave her, as they should have the entire time. But no, thanks to Sarah Connor and her little stupid children, they couldn't. And now they're about to die. So they find a car. They go to like this ranger station. They find another car. Boom. Home free, dude. And they're driving along the road. But they see that the road's been overtaken with lava. And the lava's like kind of hardened. It's like black. And they're like, oh. And keep in mind, the rocks are still on fire. And this volcanologist, like, they're just chilling and they're like, do you think it's safe to drive over? And you know what this volcanologist does? He says, well, we're about to find out. Hey, volcanologist, it's on fire. Here, fun fact for you. lava burns at a ridiculous amount of, like, ridiculously high temperatures. So if it cools, even when it cools, if it's on fire, it's hot. It's hot as hell. And it cools on the outside. So the inside is like a freaking gusher. And very shortly, we find out, there's still, what do you know? There's still lava in there. Thanks, 007. So he drives over this stupid, like, black rock stuff. His tires melt, obviously. Then his car sinks into the lava pool. And he's, like, still trying to drive it. Like second one, by the way, the tires wouldn't have lasted that long. And he's, like, basically driving on rims now. And he's, like, they expect, and the car's on fire, dude. And he drives out of there. I'm like, bro, cars, it would have died. Car's done by now. But no, because it's Pierce Brosnan in the movie. And, you know, the river's gone. The bridge is gone. There's no way out. So they're like, oh, you know, and like the ash cloud's about to come. So Dante is what I like to call him. Harold Dalton. He decides, I've got to get these people to safety. So he goes to his hotel room where he was staying. He gets like a NASA transmitting beacon for like GPS so that they can find him, because he had a plan. And he goes into an abandoned mine shaft. This man who has spent his entire life studying volcanoes takes this family, this woman and her children, into an abandoned mine shaft during a volcano eruption. Now, if you don't know why that's a big issue, it's because volcanoes shake the ground. And you're going in a tunnel, very old, that's been restricted for years underground. Literally, when you're mining in a mine shaft, one of the things you always have to worry about is like cave-ins. Now imagine the earth shaking. And this thing's old. We're talking like old. Bro. And then they get into there because it's like the little kids hide out. And he's like, don't worry, guys, I have drinks and crackers. And then Harry's like, oh, I've forgotten the transmitting beacon. Dude, you're in a mine shaft. There's no way out of here. The whole plan was to use the transmitting beacon to transmit the beacon so you can get out of there. You forgot the beacon? You're the worst hero of all time. And then they're in there. And keep in mind, these people met a week ago. Like, the parents went on like one date. And the kids are like, you know, kind of like, oh man, I don't know. Are we going to die in here? He's like, listen, how about this? And he sits him down. He hugs one of the kids and he's like, how about this? When we get out of here, you guys ever been deep sea fishing? And they're like, no. It's like, well, me neither. When we get out of here, let's rent ourselves a boat, go down to the coast of Florida and go deep sea fishing. And they're like, that sounds great, Harold. Dude. Hey, Harry Dalton. Hey, 007. I met you a week ago, bro. You're not my dad. You're not taking me to Florida to go fishing, dude. Well, who are you? Hey, volcanologist. I'm stuck in this mine shaft with no transmitting beacon because of you. And you want to take me to Florida? You're just trying to get in my mommy's pants. Bro, I barely know you. You want to take me to Florida to go fishing? But the kids are okay with it. And later they're like, did you actually mean what you meant about taking us to Florida? And he was like, sure did. And they're like, that's great. I'm like, nah, dude, you're a creep, 007. Get the hell away from me and my ma. What's going on? And they live, obviously, because he can't kill the characters. He gets the transmitting beacon, breaks his arm. It's pretty gruesome. And he lives. Now, here's the last rip I have over these movies, because I'm done. Here's the last rip I have over these four disaster movies. Why, when there is a disaster going on in the world, and we make a movie about it, the first thing that we, like, when they're writing these movies out, they're like, all right, we're going to make a movie. It's going to be about this. The world's going to crack. Everybody's going to die. But what, like, what about our characters? Okay, we got this kid. He's from New York, you know. We got this guy. We got this guy, and he's got kids, and he's got a wife. And then one guy in the corner is just like,
split him up.
Like, what was that? And he was like, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. He goes, split him up. Huh? I want you to take that happy family you just made. I want you to take that happy family. I want you to take Dwayne Johnson, Carla Cugino. I want you to take John Cusack and his dame. I want you to split them up. Huh? I want you to take Dennis Quaid and his nurse wife with the kid with the cancer. Split them up. Huh? It's a disaster movie. Divorce parents. Each of these four movies are like blatant, like it's disaster movie, like in the most. These are disaster movies. These aren't movies about, like, you know, all the, like, you know, the Avengers or anything. No. These are movies about the world turning on us. And each of them has divorced parents in it. It's a theme, dude. For some reason, no matter what, if you're making a movie about the world going to hell, your parents aren't together. if you're in a movie and it's about the world just completely destroying itself, your parents are divorced. No matter who you are. Yeah, I don't care if you're Alexander Daddario. I don't care if you're Jake Gyllenhaal, the two little stupid kids from 2012, or this two little stupid kids from Dante's Peak. There's one thing I know for sure without a doubt in my mind is that your mommy and daddy don't love each other. Oh, God. Dude, what is it? I want to change Hollywood. Just once. I want to challenge Hollywood. Make a disaster movie about a happy family. How about that, man? Make a disaster movie about a family that's actually together. Huh? How about that? I'm sorry. I probably was really loud there for a second. But yeah. And those are disaster movies. And that was the episode. I remember when I said that I didn't want to go too long. Well, I went too long. But hopefully you listen to it. You like it. My accent is very Brooklyn, right? Or whatever. It's because I'm smiling and I can't pronounce things the same. But anyway, thank you for listening to this podcast, this episode of Ticket Ripper, episode number 24. If you like the podcast, rate, subscribe, review, whatever you do on your little apps, all that kind of stuff. I would really appreciate it. Leave me comments or whatever, reviews. I want to hear what you want to say. I want to hear what you want to say. Huh? Say something. And also, I mean, if you want to say more things, and if you want to communicate with me, let's start a community, we got the Ticket Ripper podcast, Twitter account. You can follow as well. If you want to find out more about my taste, my stuff, I'm not the god of movies or anything like that. I'm just a dude trying to watch movies and loving it. And you can follow us at Ticket Ripper Pod. I say us just to make myself feel better about the fact that I'm sitting inside of a room talking about movies by myself. But you can follow me at Ticket Ripper Pod. I'm pretty active on there sometimes. But I'm trying to grow this community. I'm trying to grow the Rippers. Share this with your family. Share the episodes. Next episode is going to be about foreign movies because I love foreign movies for some reason now. I'll tell you more about that next episode. Thank you so much. You guys are great. Bye. Go watch disaster movies because someday you're going to be, you're going to watch a disaster movie called 2020 and you're going to be like, you little kids are going to be like, whoa, is that really how it was like? And you'll be like, little sunny boy, because you smoke. Everybody knows you smoke and you're not going to be able to breathe. You're going to be like, sunny boy, I was there. And they're like, grandpa, are you okay? And he's like, I got arthritis in the lungs. I got asthma. Haven't you had asthma all your life? Yeah, but smoking two packs of cools, whatever. I don't care. Anyway, bye. See you later. Tell your kids about Corona. Stay safe. Stay inside. Even though I have to go to work. Stay safe. Stay inside. God bless.